Yeah.
Too far from the mountain.
Yes.
Do you think this is going to be an indication that the vetsaw needs a little bit of structural attention?
It's not level. The floor is not level, I'm telling you. I started rolling.
Do you feel like an executive?
The regular April meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors will come to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This may be a very interesting meeting. You'll notice that there are new chairs that were purchased with some grant monies, and they have wheels on them. And we're discovering that the floor in this building is not level. So if you see directors and staff sliding all over the place, you'll understand why. We have all five directors present, so we have a quorum. Council, is there a report from closed session?
We had closed session at the regular meeting on March 24th and at the special meeting held on April 20th, and no final actions are reportable out of each of those meetings.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a review of the agenda. Are there any additions, deletions, pulled consent items, or other matters affecting the agenda?
Yes.
Director Funky Ballou.
Thank you. I would like to ask you to pull item 7C and 7B.
Consent agenda items 7B and C.
Is there an echo in here?
Are pulled.
Mr. President?
Yes.
We'd like to also make a correction to 7G.
7G.
And that should be where it says 13,300, that should be changed to 24,000.
Okay. We also have an agenda item under our regular business. It's item 10B. Excuse me. 10B, a presentation of the Cambria Forest Management Plan. We've had a request to move that up to follow immediately after the fire chief's report under managers and boards reports. Any objection to doing that?
No.
Hearing none, then we'll hear item 10B immediately following the fire chief's report. Any other additions, deletions, or pulled consent calendar items?
Yes, I'd like 7G pulled. I have some questions about the different numbers.
7G is pulled as well. Any others? All right, the agenda stands as amended. The next item on the agenda is acknowledgments and presentations, and we have the pleasure this afternoon of recognizing two of Cambria's leading citizens, Phil and Carol Adams, who have been sort of a one-man, two-person, one-man, one-woman show when it comes to all things involving the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary. And I'd like to have Phil and Carol join me at the lectern, if they will.
Thank you.
Bill and Carol. Is it on?
I need to figure out which one.
Okay. Great, thank you. Phil and Carol, thank you for coming down this afternoon. We have a proclamation honoring you, and what I think I'll do, it's rather short, I think I'll just take the time to read it, if that's okay. It's a Cambria Community Services District proclamation honoring Phil and Carol Adams. Whereas Phil and Carol Adams have been recognized by the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary for their tireless volunteer efforts to educate the public about the sanctuary, and whereas Phil and Carol continue to volunteer as beach monitors for the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, keeping detailed logs of marine mammals and coastal birds that inhabit the sanctuary, and whereas Phil and Carol have volunteered as docents for the Friends of the Elephant Seal, and co-authored a training manual entitled Elephant Seals that has served to educate the thousands of visitors who come to the Central Coast to view these extraordinary sea mammals. Excuse me. I'm suffering from terminal allergies today as a result of all the rain and the growth. And whereas Phil and Carol spot sea otters for the U.S. Biological Survey, and whereas Phil and Carol have developed Threatened and Thriving, a program designed to educate the public about gray whales, elephant seals, and snowy plovers. And whereas Phil and Carol are active in the Piedras Blancas Light Station restoration efforts, and Carol has been awarded the Making a Difference National Volunteer Award for her work to eradicate invasive plants at the light station. And whereas Phil and Carol Adams epitomize the can-do volunteer spirit of Cambria, now, therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me as president and on behalf of the board of directors and staff of the Cambria Community Services District, I hereby extend to Phil and Carol Adams this 28th day of April 2005 the deep appreciation of the entire Cambria community for their exemplary and distinguished community service, signed by me and attested to by the district clerk. Congratulations. And I forgot to mention that Carol has been dubbed the Ice Plant Queen. Is that right? Yeah. Not that she plants it, but that she eradicates it, I understand. Is that right? Terrific. Please stand up.
Being here today, and I feel like we're sort of accepting this on the behalf of every one of us that's out there being a docent or a volunteer. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome. Carol, would you like to say anything?
I feel like we just got married.
I'll give you the appropriate...
I'd like to echo Phil's sentiment. When we moved to Cambria, we were told that this was a community that ran on volunteerism, and we certainly found that out to be true. We feel just so tickled and pleasured to be part of you. This is a wonderful community. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your efforts, and I understand the photographer wants to get a picture here, so he even wants me in it. Great. Thank you very much, Phil and Carol. Give them a big hand. I was going to take some Benadryl, but I thought it would put me to sleep. Of course, maybe some people would appreciate that. Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
How many years has the elephant How many years has the elephant seal program been going in Cambria? It's in my lifetime.
Seven.
Okay. Thanks much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll now move on to special reports. Do we have a spokesperson from the Sheriff's Department here today? Yes, we do.
My name is Pete Hodgkin. I'm from the Los Osos substation. I'm standing in for Commander Weckerly today. She's been sent off to school, unfortunately, to La Jolla, of all places, for a couple of weeks. So that's a brief report. We're in the process of starting our July 4th planning at this point. So I'm kind of tossing that out there for you folks to think about for issues for 4th of July. And you got 3 or 4 months of things you'd like us to address or at least give a shot at. So we had a small crime spree here in Cambria for a while up around the Cambria Pines Lodge. However, a couple people went to jail, and coincidentally enough, that crime spree seems to have stopped. So I think we have that one under control. Any questions I can answer at this point?
Any questions of the sheriff's representative?
Yeah, this one.
Peter.
Will the bicycle patrol come back to town when we need them?
We're going to try and get the bicycle patrol up here. We're running on a manpower shortage right now. We normally have 22 staff deputies at the coast station. We're down to 16. Mm-hmm. The bicycle patrol is kind of a luxury for us. When we have the availability, we will schedule a special shift, so we put bikes here, and we bounce them back and forth between here, Avila, and Cayucas as well. You will see some on the 4th of July for sure. The majority of them will, however, be in Cayucas.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We'll now move on to the Water Master Plan Desalination and Water Storage Facilities Report. The district engineer is on vacation today. The general manager is on vacation today. Brian Bode, our utilities manager, is standing in and filling both sets of shoes. Brian?
Yeah, I've got a short little blurb here from Bob Greshens, our district engineer, and I'll just go over it really quick.
Terrific.
Pine Hills tank replacement, appeal of the Coastal Commission permit. The Coastal Commission has been a drain on staff and consultant time for the past month. Much of the energy has also been making good faith efforts to respond to Coastal Commission staff questions and attending meetings, providing project background and materials, and being available for conference calls. The project has also been redesigned twice by Boyle Engineers since last October in our attempts to address concerns raised by the Coastal staff members following the issuance of a cease and desist order on our emergency project. Unfortunately, many of the comments and concerns being raised were never received during the project's earlier CEQA review process. Therefore, we are making numerous last-minute efforts to respond to the comments that were typically received much earlier during the project's CEQA review. In desalination, we're currently developed environmental clearance documentation for a planned geotechnical investigation to support our permitting efforts. Because of listed species in the area, primarily snowy plovers, we are going through extra level of care with our biological investigations and the level of CEQA and NEPA compliance. On the Urban Water Master Plan update, discussions with the Department of Water Resources staff have indicated additional documentation is needed on the results of our existing water conservation measures. Once this is complete, they will be willing to approve our effort in producing this document. Build-out reduction plan, RBF is completing phase three of the plan and is working closely with the subconsultants this month while completing an administrative draft review. And that's it. Any questions?
Any questions of the acting general manager? Director Coben?
Well, I know Brian probably doesn't know the answer. We're just eager to get the final report, so Bob didn't say when the for the build-out reduction, when he thinks they would submit it to us.
Offer that to
we have just confirmed today another meeting of all people working on this on the 23rd of May, and it will not be until after that meeting that we can come back with a report at the very earliest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? We'll now move on to managers and boards board reports. We'll hear first from the acting general manager, Brian Bode.
Well, the general manager told me not to read this report, and I won't. It's in the record. But I would like to point out that the district office will be closed May 30th, just for the public that doesn't read this report. And also, Carlos Mendoza is in the back. Next month, we're going to come back and introduce him to the public more professionally, but I just, if anybody knows the new face back there, he's helping with all the electronics and the setup around here. So, and we're glad to see Carlos here. And with that, go any questions?
Any questions of the general manager? Hearing none, we'll move on to the fire chief's report. Chief Putney?
Thank you. You have my report in front of you. I'll just highlight a couple of items. First off, the Cambria Fire Safe Focus Group has completed the evacuation plan, and the Cambrian is now publishing the local phone book. And the pictures that you saw before of all the rescue agencies inside there will be deleted to make room for putting the local evacuation plan in the phone book. And then we're working right now for grant funding to find a way to publish and distribute community-wide the evacuation plan after about 8 months of work, so I appreciate everybody's effort. Our fire hazard fuel reduction program is just starting. In the back of the room, there is a frequently asked questions flyer that's two-sided that answers typically asked questions about our fire hazard fuel reduction program, which typically addresses vacant lot clearance adjacent to both inhabited and unoccupied structures. Last is, do you have the pictures up? The first one, the staff presentation. You ask me every month, and I wanted to cut this short. We've been training in the Moonstone Beach building. We expect to lose that this month, unfortunately, but we've been making every minute count there. We have a few pictures on this PowerPoint when it comes up. I also wanted to show you some pictures. You asked me to keep you apprised of what's happening with streets in Cambria. There is some movement in the county roads office. There's some retirements coming up, so I'm working with some interim managers right now. The Madonna Construction Company is closing its final portion of the Main Street Enhancement Project, and a new company will be starting soon. So some of the issues and concerns that I have regarding public safety and access, I hope to get finalized with the sections they've finished and then continue on with the county and the subsequent bidder. If we can't get the picture up now, then yeah, that's it. That's fine. Yeah, if you can just click through that real quick. If you want to just do it, that's fine, because I just want to go through it real quickly. That way we don't take up any more time we have to. Recently, we did a cross-training with the Sheriff's Department dive team. That's identified in my report. This is one of the training pictures we did. Second picture, please. And that's them launching their personal watercraft so that we can help each other out in a prolonged ocean rescue or a search or a dive recovery where they're looking for someone missing. Next slide. This is a traffic accident that occurred in the center median curb strip, the planter strip in the center of Main Street. You asked about some of the concerns. This is the strip that I was initially told we would be able to drive over in a fire engine. And you can see it didn't do that car very good, and we're going to have a hard time going over that. So that's one of the ongoing things that we'll be checking on in the future as this project moves forward. And then a couple of recent auto accidents. We had one off the highway down into the canyon. And you'd flip to the last slide, please, I believe. Just keep going through. This is Public Education Day for the students at Coast Union High School interested in being involved in the fire service. And the last picture is, keep going. This is a tour at the fire station. Last picture, keep going, one more. That's our thermal imaging camera. We got it back. That was the one that we won. It's in service now. We've not used it on a fire yet, but we had our basic and advanced level training, and it's first line. So we're excited about having it, and we look forward to using it here in Cambria to save lives and put out fires much quicker and more effectively. That's it.
Any questions of the fire chief? Director Coben.
Bob, I was at a meeting this morning, and someone was mentioning there are piles of wood in different places on the ranch, on the perimeters of the ranch.
That's correct.
And I knew you knew about it, but at any rate, any comment as to when that might be removed? Or what your plans are for that?
What I'm doing right now is I'm working with the Department of Forestry's grant administrator to get the crews back that did the clearance last year. That was our first attempt at going back and basically redoing the defensible space project we did. So that wood that's piled is slated to be chipped. As soon as I can get a 3C chipping crew in here, we have about four identified piles, including a couple we missed on last year's chipping weekend, and we will chip all those over a period of 2 or 3 days. And then we're probably going to do some more cutting as well to cut some of the vegetation that's grown back. So as soon as I know better, I'll let you know.
Thanks. I knew you were on it, but I thought we ought to let everybody else know. Thanks.
Director Villeneuve?
Question? Yeah, Chief, there's quite a few trees that have been removed and felled because either they came down on their own or they're hazardous. And I've noticed that, particularly because I got it on two sides of the, on Burton Circle and also on Margate, that they're just stacking the cord, they cut them up and the rounds are just sitting there. And then some of them have been there for about 2 months. And I'm going around, traveling around town, there's quite a bit of that. Now, that's good firewood, but I'd like to see whether, is that going to be a county problem, or is that going to be one of our fire hazard, the part of the cleanup, the annual cleanup?
Directly, we will handle that. We allow residents to try to cut down on some of the hauling costs because you can only legally haul to the San Simeon landfill any cut pine because of pine pitch canker. So we try to get people to cut the firewood, stack it, put a free firewood sign, and have locals pick it up and hopefully take it home, use it, burn it, use it here locally, not transport it out of the area so we don't spread disease. If it's not picked up by the fire hazard fuel reduction season, then the homeowner or the property owner will be asked to legitimately remove it and get it off the property so it does not escalate and become a fire hazard.
Okay.
Any other questions of the chief? Apparently not. Chief, do you want to introduce the Forest Committee report?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
If we could put the next PowerPoint up, you've already got it live. What we wanted to do today, and Patrick's going to pass out a brief handout for all of you and then also a booklet entitled Tale of the Cambria Woods. I'm the chairman of the Cambria Forest Committee. I was asked by our committee to put on this report today, which has pretty much the fingerprints of a lot of different people in our community and that are on the Forest Management, the Cambria Forest Management Committee. And what I really want to talk about today is the public benefits of forest management in Cambria, and that's really what this talk is about. I'm going to keep it short. I'm going to cover a few areas. The PowerPoint's behind you. If you'd like a copy of it, we will make a copy, and I'll be glad to distribute it to you. But I want to touch on some of the high points and make sure that everyone has good basic information about what is in the forest management plan and what are the public benefits. Next slide, please. He's working on it, I think. Okay. We may not be able to run this full screen as a PowerPoint presentation. He's going to try. Let's see if we can get it to run here. Well, that might be the best we can do. Anyway, this slide, although it may be somewhat hard to see, if you look at all the white areas in there, those are all the residential, commercial lots. Those are basically all the lots. And if you look in and around us, Cambria is in a forest. We're built in, on, and around basically a pine forest. Next slide. Some of the issues that occur by basically being in a forest, obviously, are we do have hazardous trees. We hear about them all the time. I know certainly we do. We have standing dead trees. We have trees that seem to be dangerously angling. And the county tries to deal with those as quick as they can. We obviously have a fire danger, both in the wildland, a fire that could spread to the community, and a fire in a community that could spread to the wildland. We have watershed issues that without the trees and the native vegetation holding the soils down, we would have tremendous erosion, as we saw basically in Santa Barbara and Ventura County, where you have large-scale erosion. You have invasive plants go in, and this, not only the landscape never looks the same, but also the damage is pretty eternal because invasives begin to come in and take up where natives were before. There's obviously economic benefits. Property's worth a lot more if it's in a forested area and it looks nice. And there's aesthetic benefits, which is one of the reasons why people have summer homes here, come here, and why a lot of us live here, is that the forest is part of what Cambria is. Next slide. Trees are obviously hazardous. Some people are in the business of guessing when they're going to fall or when they're not going to fall, but they do cause damage. We're fortunate in that they don't injure or kill more people, but as the forest gets older, some of the trees are at their maximum lifespan or are diseased and come down. So they definitely are a hazard, and while it's not appropriate to take them all down, it's certainly appropriate to take some of them down. Next slide. Forest presents a fire danger, obviously. This is a picture of a fire that we had in at the top of Strawberry Canyon on the east side of the canyon. Up in the middle part of the screen on the right, you can see flames, and those are about 12 feet above ground. And that's a part of a canopy at the end of the top of a stump of a pine tree where some embers caught the tree stump on fire, and it began sending other embers, which then started a spot fire. That's very typical in a pine forest where you get a lot of spotting from a fire. So there is definitely a fire danger. Next slide. This is a picture of obviously the West Village. If you look very closely, you can see that most of the buildings in the West Village have anywhere from 4 to 7 feet of water inside them. If you look at the water in and around the streets, it's muddy. That's certainly a sign of siltation and erosion coming down from the hillsides. That would be much worse. That would be a lot more mud, and it would be a lot worse condition if there weren't as many trees holding the hillsides in place so you don't have whole-scale erosion and mudslides all around the town, including possibly blocking the drainages and affecting the marine habitat in the sanctuary and the ocean offshore. Next slide. You can't quite see the top of the slide there, but basically what it says is residents and visitors alike benefit economically from our forest. It's a great place to come and visit. It's a great place to take pictures in, to do some respite, to retire in, to come to the summer, to hold a conference or a retreat, get to know your family members. Next slide. We have a lot of people who enjoy walking in the forest. That brings the community together, enjoying and preserving what we have, especially since we have such a unique pine stand of pine trees here in this unique forest. Next slide. Cambria does have a plan to implement the benefits of forest management, and that's the Forest Management Plan. It was funded by a Department of Forestry and Fire Protection study, and the Community Services District also put money into making sure that that came to fruition. We have that now, and what it really is it's like a physician trying to figure out what's wrong with you. It's a treatment plan meant to be implemented by a forester that allows a forester to use different treatments, not only to make the forest healthier, but also to get rid of some of the overgrowth and some of the invasives and basically reduce some of the fire hazard. Next slide. Never fails, there's a gremlin in the program. Here we go. We definitely have an opportunity because we have this plan. One of the ways that has plagued the Forest Management Committee is basically how do you implement it and how would it operate. There are certainly some suggestions inside the implementation portions of the management plan. But really, we do have an opportunity to not only save the forest, but to live in harmony with it so that we have a fire-safe community. And then final slide, please. Basically, what needs to be done next is define the boundaries of what that plan basically would look at, define the staffing and support needs, define long-term funding needs, and define a funding source. And I was premature. There is one more slide, please, the last slide. And Cambrians need the benefit of forest management. That's my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions. I've given you, again, just a short compendium, or we have as a group, kind of the initial pages of the Forest Management Plan. We also gave you a booklet that was funded by state money and locally also as well that tells about some of the historical value of the forest here and what benefits it's brought both in a long time ago, both the current day to the community, and from all different aspects. So I'd be glad to answer any questions. There are also other members here of the Forest Committee as well. If I can't answer the question, they'd be glad to.
Any questions of Chief Putney? Director Funky Balloon?
No, I don't have a question. I just I would like to make a request of staff if there are no questions.
Director Coben?
Just a comment that I really appreciate that we have it and that you're all actively working on it, because I agree the healthy forest contributes to the well-being of the citizens. And it seems to me that's part of our job here at CCSD, is to look to the well-being of people that live here. And this certainly takes us a lot closer to understanding what the dimensions of it are and what we need to do. And, of course, the funding issue can just – we need to work on that. So thanks.
Director Funky Ballou, you have a request?
Well, I certainly agree with my colleague to my right, especially given the latest developments with the Pine Knolls tank. I see a very close interrelationship between expanding our water storage and thus enhancing our fire protection, and thus enhancing our forest and protecting it as well. I believe strongly that if the forest goes, Cambria goes. You can't separate the forest from living here. I think that the Forest Committee, of which I've been a member for a couple of years, has worked on this plan, I think, what is it, Bob? Is it 10 years?
I've been a member of CCSD since 2000, and it was being worked on well, long before that. I would say probably over 10 years, closer to maybe 15.
So here's a plan that a committee has done a remarkable job to benefit each and every individual that comes to this area and lives here. And at this point, the committee has not presented its prescription for how to make the forest healthier and therefore our lives healthier and safer. So what I would like staff to do, and I've informally talked about this with our general manager, but I would like our staff to follow up on the definitions that Chief Putney has laid out, I think, in the next to the last slide or two slides from the end, and come back with a report as to all those questions that the chief has highlighted, namely the funding sources, the implementation issues, the boundaries, everything associated with implementing the plan. And Chief, the plan is available online. Is that true?
That is correct. The most current. If anyone has a copy, I would ignore that copy because there may have been legal changes made to it for the complete plan. They can get that website from the CDF website, or they can contact the fire department. You all have it up there on, and it's too long to read, but I would be glad to provide it to anybody who wants it. It is on the CDF state government website.
So, Brian, is that enough clarity for you as to the guidance I'm requesting?
That's plenty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to the direction that Director Funky Ballou has given the staff? Hearing none, I think there's a consensus to do that. Any other questions or comments on the report? Director Chaldicott.
I was just wondering if the practices that are current in the in the area, such as our lot clearing and dealing with you know, waste wood and so on, have these all been shown to be positive? I mean, are there any negative things that are done in Cambria which we need to be stopped or turned around?
One of the things that's very clear in the plan is that this plan is meant to be administered and basically researched by a professional, a person that's a registered professional forester in the state of California. We don't have a forester in the department that's in our employ. We have tried to use the best management practices, and actually our lot clearing requirements fit in some of the treatment guidelines that are in the forest management plan. One of the concerns that locals may share is that some of the contractors who do the work may not use They may use economically friendly, where it's more beneficial for the lot owner to clean the lot that way, whereas it may be better for the environment to use hand methods, to use gas-powered cutters and things like that rather than tractors. But it begins you get an economic impact to the property owner where they're paying maybe $8,000 or $12,000 to clear a lot instead of $3,500 to clear a lot because it's so overgrown and they have a lot of invasives. So I think that may be one of the areas there may be some questions, but I don't think right now that any of the actions we do, the West Ranch Shaded Fuel Break, are in competition or at odds with the forest management plan. But again, I'm not a registered professional forester.
Thank you. Chief, how about coordination with the county, particularly the building and planning department? Is there an aspect or a component of this that would involve the county?
There could be, or we could. There's a lot of different ways we could go. It's kind of like entering a turnpike, and there's about 30 different highways we could take. One would be we would work in concert with them. Eventual method, if this was come to fruition and be funded, is it may be that all the codes to require both inspection and making sure the provisions are followed out are within the community services district's purview and would be in our basically local codes, in our community service district codes. Currently, right now, we work with code enforcement on removal of trees and trying to balance leaving standing habitat for birds and primarily some of the furry four-footed critters that need places to store their nuts and to have some sort of habitat, and leaving too many standing dead trees. So right now we've got good coordination, but there could be some coordination issues that we'd have to bridge.
Case in point, there are a couple of lots on Cambria Pines Road in Leimert that look like Stalingrad after World War II, if you catch my drift. When preparations were made for the construction of a couple of homes, and it's obvious after seeing the homes constructed that far more trees were removed than was necessary. I'm wondering if there's any opportunity at that level of planning for the district to get involved.
Quite possibly, if we had some regulatory or oversight review of what was actually done there versus what actually takes place in action, because, I mean, quite frankly, to be honest, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone here at this board meeting, the community, the county community as a whole, which I try to work with very closely, is extremely overwhelmed. And often when the clearing takes place up there, they come up afterwards, find the trees have been removed, and there is a tree replacement program, but often the damage is done. So they're not here locally, and they have to try to go in and play catch-up. And they do go after people with a vengeance, but often the lion's already out of the cage and the damage is done. So right. I agree with what you're saying, and I think there's room for improvement. I wouldn't expect that the county would jump to that level to provide that level of improvement. They just don't have the staffing to do it.
Director Villeneuve?
Oh, yeah, just from personal experience that I wasn't aware of the tree on my lot, on one of the trees on my lot, which is very, very large, and it was quite old. I had one of the tree business people that do take down trees and trimming, had them come by and give me an estimate of how much it would take to either reduce the load on the tree or possibly take it out. And then I found out that the tree wasn't even on my lot. It was in the county right away. So it took a while. But actually, I got a really good response from the county crew. But they pointed out, I think they have a crew of about four people that cover the entire county. So it took a while, but they did a great job. They came down, took down this huge tree, ground out the stump. By the way, the one on the view you had on there with the guy with the trees broken down and sitting on top of the roof is my neighbor down the street, and that jump started me to look at the tree that was also a 130-foot tall pine tree that was over the hill on the backside of my lot. So,
yeah, the tree crew that you mentioned is staffing of four is down to even less than that now, and the county has resulted to basically doing independent contracts with private contractors to get some of the trees removed. Mm-hmm. But the tree removal issue is a moving target that I deal with every day in and day out, trees that are clearly on the county right-of-way. They go, that's not our responsibility because our right-of-way is there, but we have no authority for clearing the trees, and then, well, this is ours. So we're trying to set some policy, and I think with some of the changes coming up, hopefully we can get some better policies and better identify who's going to clear what. And we've got that ongoing dialogue with PG&E, and they're doing a lot better, but we still have a ways to go with the county, and we're trying to work together to make that happen.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Director Funky Ballou? No? Okay. Well, I think the staff has consensus of the board with respect to the issues, and so we would expect a report back as soon as you can pull it all together. Thank you. We'll now move on to the utilities manager's report. That would be Brian Bode again.
You have my report in front of you, and to make this thing brief, I'm just going to add a few things that happened since then. First, I'd like to give some acknowledgement to Madonna Construction. They're cleaning their job up and doing a lot of hydro seeding, and one of the sites they had was out on Heath Lane across from the wastewater treatment plant where they stored a lot of material to put back into the landscaping. When they got done with that, they completely graded the lot, graded the swale, and hydro seeded the whole area. It looks great. They've also cleaned out their yard across from the water yard, and it just looks excellent. There's no material left behind, and that, I like to see a job end like that. It's nice.
This is the first compliment we've gotten.
Well, I just remember that Madonna didn't design the thing. So
that's good.
Right. Anyway, I left a little something out on the water supply. A lot of people have been asking about whether or not we're going to have to implement penalties in this next year coming up, and I'm going to kind of hedge my bet the way the National Weather Service does and say I'm about 95% sure that we won't have to do that. But next month I'll give you a better update on that. But right now both creeks are going to the ocean. So the basins are fully charged and we're looking pretty good. Let's see if I had anything else.
On that point, Brian, I think it bears reiterating that it's not necessarily the volume of rain, it's when it rains, and obviously the later the rain, the better, so that the wells remain charged, fully charged, as late as possible into the year.
Exactly. One other item on the East-West Ranch pipeline, the Madison Vault's in. It should be online today. We've disinfected it, pressure tested it. Also, starting Monday, they'll be working on the force main on the vault, the sewer force main, and also starting on the valve station and vault at Windsor and Heath Lane, and that'll be the end of the project. So we look forward to that.
Have there been many delays on that project owing to the weather?
Quite a few, according to the weather. Most of it's been according to weather.
Right. Director Coleman.
Has the quality of the water been cleared up now in terms of the, remember there was some discoloration and so forth, is that a finish?
Yes, that's done, although when we put in the valve boxes again and disinfect and turn things around, we could still have that again.
Go back again.
Not nearly, we're not going to move as much water as we did when we filled up the first pipeline.
Okay.
And so it shouldn't be. But usually when we have that turbidity, it only lasts 15, 20 minutes, a couple hours at the most.
Okay. Thank you.
On the dewatering solid screw press, the 30 days has passed through the county for the minor use permit. And we're pretty sure that we're going to have the minor use permit within about 3 weeks. So starting Monday, we're going to put the bid pack together and go out to bid on that, and hoping that the county will actually get to writing the permit before we let the contract out. And I think that's pretty safe to say they will. We also got some support from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Matt Thompson called and said if we had any trouble with the county, he'd help us out. But we haven't so far. And with that,
could I just
Director Chaldeca.
Yes, thank you. I noticed I was in Kern County the other day that they are trying hard to forbid sludge being taken out there, so I guess it's really imperative this gets done in a hurry.
Yes, they're having some real problems with Class B. They want to keep Class B out. Mm-hmm. And to keep the stuff in our own backyard is in the best interest. And that's for the whole county. That's for every county. The problem they run into is they're like Santa Barbara County.
they kind of hold San Luis Obispo County in contempt because they won't take care of their own waste. So, like, we have grease traps that we used to go at the wastewater treatment plant that we'd empty and take down to Santa Maria. They don't want it anymore, and it's pretty much in a response to keep it in your own backyard because you want to export it but not take care of it. So I don't blame them on that, and so we're going to try to comply with that and take care of our own mess.
Right. I think it bears repeating that the biosolids dewatering project, while a substantial capital outlay, will enable the district to save substantial sums of money on an annual basis going forward, because our cost to haul will be considerably reduced. It's a very good cost beneficial project for the district. Any other comments or questions of the acting general manager, utilities manager, and what other hat are you wearing today, Brian?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I get to wear my assistant manager hat for the first time and sit in the big chair, and I show up and everybody's got big chairs, so it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Okay, with that, we'll go on to the finance officer's report. Patrick Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. You have my report in front of you, and I will be brief going through it. I finished a budget projection using March actuals, and our revenues and expenditures are pretty much tracking as we have previously projected. One piece of information that I just received after I'd written my report, as you know, our workers' comp, we are covered by the Special District Risk Management Authority and our workers' comp pool. I just yesterday received a letter from them, and they are estimating a workers' comp rate to decrease by 9.13% for the year starting July of 2005. So that's super
it's going
good
down?
News. It's going down. down.
Are you sure?
You know, I realize as I'm getting older, sometimes my eyesight isn't quite as good as it is, and I did put my glasses and took them on and off about three times to make sure I read that, and it did say decrease. So,
remarkable.
Yeah, it is. Okay. The next item that I do want to spend some time on, however, is the water tender. We are going to need some intervention here from Cotchett Petrie, which I have already initiated. I'm having a heck of a time trying to pry some money out of Chevron. I did get an email this morning from Steve Williams at Cotchett and Petrie, and he had heard from, well, I can't remember the gentleman's name, Todd Littleworth, I believe, at Chevron, and said, I'll take care of it. So that's where that stands at the moment. Why it takes them so long, I do not know.
They're too busy making money.
At 50 to 60 bucks a barrel, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I guess so. Just to remind those here today and those who will be watching the tape on television, as a part of the settlement package with Chevron, Chevron is required to pay the cost of the fire department's water tender. And it's a little difficult sometimes getting Chevron to own up to its obligations.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly, difficult, yeah.
Mr. President, I'd just like to enlarge on that a little bit. This water tender is an important part of our firefighting apparatus. I mean, this upcoming season is going to be really important, I would imagine, for spot fires and so on.
Very much so.
And this is a lease purchase, so if we don't pay the lease, we get to send it back or something like that. And I'm really concerned that Chevron are really playing with our fire safety.
We make the payment first. Part of the agreement with Chevron is we make the payment, we turn around and invoice Chevron, which is what we've done. So the lease is being paid. What is happening here is we're not getting reimbursed by Chevron per the terms of that agreement, as President Sanders just mentioned. So the lease is being paid. So there's no danger of it, you know, they Oshkosh or whatever their name is, Oshkosh Bagosh, coming across and picking up this tender and driving it away.
Right. The wheels of the oil gods grind slowly, but they do grind, and eventually they pay. It's just a matter of keeping the pressure on them.
It's kind of irritating that I had to do this last year too. I had to go back to Cotchett and Petrie and ask Steve Williams, you know, I need your intervention here.
Right.
But and then the last thing in my report is the capital improvement program. And Bob Greshens and I are going to get together next week, and because we really need to sit down and kind of retune the Pine Knolls tank. Of course, has kind of stretched our timeline out a bit. And the figures that we're using in our current capital improvement plan are kind of old, and the timeline has changed, the costs have changed. So Bob and I need to sit down, revisit that whole process, particularly in view of President Sanders' list of priorities, get this in a timeline, look for the funding for it, and make sure that, you know, we've got things as well planned out as we can have them planned out and anticipating where we're going with this. So that concludes my report. If there's any comments or questions.
Any questions of the finance officer? There are none. Any board member and committee reports? There are none. We'll move on to the consent calendar. Consent calendar items B, C, and G have been pulled. We'll consider the pulled consent calendar items first. And B is the approval of the minutes of the Board of Directors meetings of March 15th and March 24th, 2005. Director Funky Ballou.
Thank you. With reference to the minutes under Agenda 9B, there's a reference.
Which date?
I thought we only have March 24th.
We have the 15th and the 24th.
Oh, you have more than I do. I only have the 24th.
Okay. So it's the 24th that you're looking at.
You have a 15th over there?
Mm-hmm.
See, you get better treatment when you're the president.
I guess so.
Well, you get better treatment when you're some.
So it's item 9.
Okay. So it's the 24th, and there's a reference to the language that says Director Villeneuve moved the adoption of Resolution 03-2005 with approved execution of modified agreement as discussed by board and phrased by council. Motion carried. The no person is identified, but the abstention is not, and I believe that was Director Coben, and I think that should be in the record. And I understood that maybe this is half a dozen of one, sixth of another, but I understood that Director Coben recused herself upon advice of district council. Was that correct?
It says that at the beginning of the item.
It says in the second sentence of B, Director Coben recused herself.
Where's that?
Right at the beginning, on page 4, second sentence. Director Coben recused herself. So that's.
I still don't see it.
Can you point that out to him?
It's the third line, Director the first Coben. Paragraph.
Do you see it?
I see it.
Okay.
So that clarifies that issue. What about the abstention? Is that the same thing as a recusal? Or is that going to confuse the language in B that you just pointed out to me that I neglected to read?
District Council?
It can be reflected on the minutes either way. I think our practice has, as long as it states in the text what occurred, that an abstention is how we record it.
Okay. In that case, then I don't have any problems with the minutes on the 24th.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve item B of the consent calendar?
I'd like to make a motion to approve it.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the Board of Directors meetings of March 15th and 24th as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Motion carries. Consent calendar item C is consideration of Resolution 25-2005 authorizing amendments to District Council Art Montandon's employment agreement. Director Funky Ballou?
I'd like to recuse myself from voting on this issue.
Let the record reflect that Director Funky Ballou has recused himself. on this issue,
and
on this matter?
May I also add to the record that since this item concerns me, I can't advise or use anything in my official capacity to influence your decision on this. I can't answer direct questions if you choose to ask me.
Are there any questions of district council?
Yes. How are you?
Okay. Apparently he's fine. Is there a motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 25-2005. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Consent calendar item G is consideration of resolution, should be 2-5, I believe. It says 2-6 on the agenda. 25-2005, authorizing amendment of task order 01-04 with Boyle Engineering for continued permitting assistance on the Pine Knolls tank replacement project. Director Funky Blue.
I ask that this be pulled because while I heard Mr. Bodie talk about the new numbers, why is it 13 in the agenda and now it's 24?
Bob made an error on that. He got an update from Nunley, and because of the de novo hearing coming up and some of the work they're doing on that process, the cost is going to be more. They've already spent that much, the 13 anyway, so they need 24 to finish it off. And those are unforeseen things that they didn't plan when they first set this thing up.
Any other questions of the acting general manager?
What do you mean unforeseen?
I'll refer to
what's been happening is the Coastal Commission staff report contained different designs done by their staff that they didn't give us before the meeting that we had to respond. They gave it to us with the staff report. They didn't consult with us prior to issuing that staff report, so our engineering personnel had to respond in some way to demonstrate that they were infeasible. Also, what had occurred last week is another list of questions, two or three pages that we received from the Coastal Commissions. Most of it's the same thing they've asked before, but some of it requires Boyle to respond to that also. And frankly, we don't know what else. I received another question today and in an email what we're going to receive from them.
Let me emphasize that we have received a considerable number of requests from the Coastal Commission on this project. We've had extensive dialogue with the Commission, and they continue to ask questions that are of a technical engineering nature, which requires Boyle Engineering to respond, most particularly because Boyle is the consulting engineer that has designed the project. So Boyle, being most familiar with the project, is the logical entity to respond to the questions. As of last Friday, the questions continue unabated. So we're in a position where we have no alternative other than to respond, and we need Boyle's assistance in order to do that.
Let me just express a couple of thoughts. As most of you know, I feel very strongly about the tanks and the need for the tanks, as we initially decided to do. For all the reasons we've previously stated. But this issue is now morphing, and I hear the same type of arguments that were raised during the MTBE phase of the CCSD history. And that is that we have no choice, but we need to spend money either for lawyers or for experts or for whatever. I'd like to be the first to state now that I will not agree to paying at this phase of the negotiations with the Coastal Commission. I use the word negotiation slowly. I don't think the Coastal Commission has been acting in good faith. And let me give you just one example of how I was given the DVD, and I was listening, and I was watching part of it, and the executive director of the Coastal Commission turns to his to the commissioners and tells them that Chief, referring to Chief Putney, laid some new information. I think that's what he told him, that that the chief gave the staff on the date of the Coastal Commission hearing new information in regards to the tanks. Everyone in this room knows that's not true. We've been so cooperative, it's almost an outrage how cooperative we've been with the county, with Coastal staff, with anyone who would listen. And we've always almost been on a knee-jerk reaction. When a question is posed, we immediately try to be cooperative and try to respond and give them all the information that we can possibly give them. And for him to say in a straight face, on television no less, that the district waited until the date of the hearing for its chief to give the staff new information, in my mind, was just, they're playing with us, they're toying with us, and it was not a very commendable operation of government in action. I was absolutely floored, and I sympathize with staff who had to put it, with our staff that had to be subjected to that kind of nonsense in Santa Barbara. That being said, I think it comes to a point now where I cannot justify spending public money to pay consultants to answer questions that I believe are motivated by bad faith. I know our heart is in the right place, but I can't agree to this, not even the $13,000.
Other comments?
I think I'd like to ask, just to show the level of micromanagement that we're experiencing at the Coastal Commission. The question was actually how much space do we need at the footing of the tank? In other words, do the tanks just go straight to the ground, or is there a little footing like there is around the house? And we had to bring our expert to say there was actually, I think, a buried 2 feet of steel, which is a earthquake support. And that then had to go back to the Coastal Commission for them to micromanage how big the tank should be. And maybe that was the numbers they didn't have at the time, but it shows that we're being micromanaged from a distance, which is a very uncomfortable feeling. I think the other thing I was going to say was, I'm a little concerned because they are asking questions of a technical nature, and they're typically 2 pages at a time. And I would ask you, Director Funkabaloo, what do you think what would you suggest we do? Because I'm really concerned we do get these technical questions. Do we just say no answer? Or
No. I think we answer, but I don't think, and this is just one director talking, and just the sense that I have, and being through portion of the MTB issue where we also were victimized, in my opinion, almost on the same way, but a different degree.
I would agree. The feeling is about the same.
Yeah. It's getting there. It's getting there now with this Pine Knolls thing. And my feeling is we have a district engineer. He is technical. He is trained. He's highly qualified. And obviously it's going to take him more time to answer. There's no way it's going to be done. We're not going to be able to resolve this issue in May. That's pretty well been corroborated by district council and other sources. So we don't react in a couple of days. So it takes us a couple of weeks to respond. That's the price that we have to pay. That's the price. We got to do what we have to do. So it may take a little bit more time. It's not our fault. But at this point, I think Tammy told us we're in excess of $300,000 because of what the Coastal Commission has demanded with these new changes and so forth. I mean, that's all, after a while, it's getting to the point where I just can't swallow it anymore. I just think it's kind of a tragic thing where I know we're doing everything possible to help our users and to make our communities safer, but you know, at the same time, we need to keep a good financial footing in this town, and I'm concerned.
Yes.
Director Coben.
Those of us were there certainly did feel victimized, undoubtedly, by all the hard work and knowing our staff had done it, what they had done and what we'd all have done. But the point is that there's a certain urgency to this project, and so I think we need to go ahead on the advice of our district engineer, and I would move approval of this request.
Motion has been made to adopt the resolution. Is there a second to the motion?
Yeah, I'll second it, and only because of the fact that it's a Hobson's choice. They've got us. Obviously, there's, in my view, there's a hidden agenda. There is not really any substantive question about the lack of real reality that the program that we've had, we've adjusted, we've redone the plan. I don't know how many times we've accommodated every demand they had, except to stay out of that degraded portion of the forest, which has already been testified at that meeting by expert horticulturists, and so this is the kind of catch-22 that has undermined the confidence in the Coastal Commission. I mean, Director Colvin and I were invited or asked to meet with the director, Peter, and we spent 2 hours in an informal setting discussing our plan. We brought the latest, at that time, the latest data. After the 2 hour, it was a very amicable 2 hour. There was a lot of questions asked, and he left the meeting with us convinced that it was a good project. He told us that. And then 2 days later, we got a report back from him indicating that they rejected the plan, and that there was an indication that somehow or another we were playing at a subterfuge. You know, we're really we've met every demand as unsubstantiated as they may be. They've even asked the same questions over again, and they continue to, with a bunch of amateurs, draw the alternatives that we should follow. But what else can we do? We can't walk away from the table. We just have to keep pursuing it. I'm extremely disappointed. I've spent 5 years on the Coastal Commission for this region back in 1976 to 1981. And I have utmost confidence that with the Coastal Act, but it's being grossly mismanaged. It's just out of control. But we just, unless we get some intervention from the governor's office or some other higher authority, we're just going to have to play their game.
Any other comments or questions?
Could I clarify that was with the executive director, Douglas, that you were meeting?
Yes. Yeah. His request.
Okay. Well. Could I just clarify, just for the record, that we've gone through four designs ourselves to reduce the impact of the tanks, and the Coastal Commission then laid another five designs on us to be dealt with. So there's a total of nine designs that have been dealt with by the engineers. So
that is correct.
Yeah.
I think too there is a bit of misinformation about the amount of money that has been spent pursuing this project. Some of the money that Director Funky Ballou reported as having been spent answering Coastal Commission questions and so forth is money that actually would have been spent anyway in furtherance of the project. There are a lot of aspects of the engineering work that has been done that are difficult to separate. That is, separate what the Coastal Commission has asked for and what would have been required in the ordinary course of events anyway. So the number, I think, is somewhat overstated. Nonetheless, it is a substantial amount of money, and I'm very mindful of that. We have a motion and a second to approve this item. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? Motion carries. You're voting no?
Yeah.
Okay. Let the record reflect that Director Funky Ballou has voted no. Would the Acting General Manager please read the balance of the consent calendar?
Seven A, approve expenditures for the month of March 2005. 7D, appoint Nancy McCarney as the Ad Hoc Blue Ribbon Incorporation Committee. E, approve assignment of position on APN 013.141.022, not applied for prior to close of escrow. This requires board approval because the property closed escrow prior to submitting for assignment position. 7F, adopt resolution 23-2005, approving the submitted grant application and CCSD matching funds under assistance for firefighters / Department of Homeland Security programs to purchase respiratory equipment for the Cambria Fire Department. 7H, adopt resolution 24-2005, authorizing amendment 2 to task order 1 to the September 23, 2004 agreement with Carrillo Engineers desalinization project.
Is there a motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the balance of the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? Motion carries. We'll now move on to hearings and appeals. Item 9A is a public hearing to adopt resolution 20-2005 authorizing a rate adjustment for emission country disposal. Is there a staff report?
I've got Tom Martin here. He's in the back there, and this is his bailiwick, so I'm going to let him speak to this.
Mr. Martin, welcome.
It was raining.
It's always shining here.
It was rainy. There. Blue sky and gorgeous up here.
Right.
What we have in front of you today is the annual rate adjustment that we do. In prior years, we would wait until there was a major need for an increase, and what we found was that the elected bodies did not like that. So we shifted into this mode of doing small annual ones to try and take away the big pain that would come if you just waited every... If you waited and did an interim layer just every 2 or 3 years,
we used to do so that
became problematic. What we do basically is we take the
consumer price index
from December and we apply it to the percentage
of our
expenses, and basically that excludes landfill and franchise fees, which are pass through items. And so the inflation factor was 3.3% in December. The rate increase is 3.04% because we only apply it to a portion of our expenses. Residentially, you're looking at 44 cents for a month to each customer. And you should also note that in Cambria,
I can talk loud.
There you go.
You should also note
that in Cambria, 87% of your residential customers are in the one can rate. So that's the highest percentage of
anybody that we do service with, and you continue to be recycling zealots, which is good, which is where we want you to be.
Commercially, the one change that we've done is there has never been a one can rate for commercial services, and dating back to prior to my time, in 88 coming here. And in the last couple of months, we've received
requests as to why there isn't a one-can rate. So we've adopted the residential rate structure for businesses so that the businesses
pay exactly the
same as the residential customers
in Cambria do. If
you
can get down to the
one-can
rate where most of the residences are, your rate will actually go down from what it was prior if you were a two-can customer.
And other than that,
I don't have yet. Yeah.
Any questions of Mr. Martin?
Well, I don't know.
Director
maybe,
Funky Blue.
Yes, thank you. I was reading the last page of this placing, the last page of the agenda item. And it's about when it talks about overstacking your waste wheeler. And I always, didn't you represent to us that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that the lid had to be flat when it came to the garbage cans, but to the recycling, that was not going to be an issue because you wanted us to encourage recycling and the lid didn't have to be flat. And this is the first time I noticed that that it now says if it's not flat for recycling that you would charge $3.63. Now, did you so represent before? Is this thing an error?
No, it's not an error.
What we encourage people to do is get the size can that all of their stuff will fit in because the mechanism that picks up recycling is a mechanical mechanism, and if you put Oklahoma sideboards on it, it will fall on the ground as it's being emptied. And so we have 32-gallon blue cans.
We have 64-gallon blue cans. We have 96-gallon blue cans.
And we would ask that you have the can that most of your stuff can fit. It's actually easier for the guys if you put it on the ground beside a bag than if you stack it up high. So you make some sense. But if you need a bigger blue can, by all means, call us and we'll bring you a bigger blue.
It doesn't cost anymore, right?
It doesn't cost anymore.
Right.
Your rate is based on your garbage can.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that, Tom. Do you have any 60-gallon cans available for recycling or anything? At one time, it was either 30 or 90. Are you?
No, we have inventory for 64s as well. If you need a two-can blue, we can get it.
And how about the green one? Is that?
I'm going to have to go look at
okay.
it for greens. I think we just have 32s and 96s.
Okay. The other thing I noted, you said you want 3 feet between them. Is that really fast right now?
It's not hard and fast. In Canberra, okay. We don't have any automated trucks.
Right.
The move is toward automation, and in an automated scenario, it needs to be 3 feet in order for the equipment to operate effectively. Not a sticking point. It just we're trying to train you early as we move in that direction.
Okay. Appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Martin. I have a request to speak from Richard Hawley. Is it for this item, Rick? It says A. We have another A as well coming up. This item. Please, come up.
My name is Richard Hawley. I'm a resident of Cambria. Thanks, Mr. Gardner, has been doing a wonderful job. But my issue is with the tipping fees that we get charged from the disposal at the landfill. And we're not getting any benefit from that tipping charge. There's $3 that goes from every ton of material that gets coming from the landfill that's supposed to go back to the communities. And we have no hazardous waste pickups here or any place that people can take things that fish and garbage can't deal with. And I think this community is getting shortchanged on that. We need a hazardous waste facility here. There's no reason we shouldn't have one here. And a lot of things get dumped into the ocean, through drains. It's flushed down the toilets, goes into our sewer system, goes into the ocean. Things get dumped in the forest. Things get roadsided. Always picking up paint cans, things like that. There's stacks and stacks of computers and garages and so forth that are potentially hazardous material. The county, through this hazardous waste program and these tripping fees, are required to deal with. We pay for that now, and we're not getting the service. And I don't know if Mission Country Garbage has anything to do with that or not, but I know this board does, because $3 goes for every ton and collected for years and years, and why aren't we getting the benefit of it?
Rick, I think you're preaching to the choir. It's not just landfill tipping fees, but transient occupancy tax, vehicle license fees, the local share of sales tax, and I can go on and on. Maybe Chief Putney can chime in here. Chief, has there been any dialogue on having a hazardous waste disposal site here in Cambria?
No, not that I'm aware of at all. The only assistance we've had through Mission Country and its state contractor is they provided us with hazardous waste storage containers for when there are traffic accidents. We pick up the oil, gasoline, store it, and they provide free transportation out of the community. But there's no public hazardous waste amnesty site location or place to turn in those places. And a lot of the places that take oil around town, because one of the automotive repair and parts places just closed up, a lot of times the oil recycling containers are full, and so Cambrians have to hold on to that recycled oil at home until the containers are emptied.
Tom Martin, is there anything that you can add to this dialogue?
Just to say, while it's coming up, we had this discussion last year. And
yes, we did.
Yes,
yeah, the $3 a ton that we pay at Cold Canyon Landfill goes to the County Integrated Waste Management Authority, the IWMA,
and they run those programs. And I'm sure Bill Worrell would sit down and chat with you about it. Currently, the closest place to take anything is the Morro Bay Water Treatment Plant, where they operate a facility. There's also one at Chicago Raid Landfill. There's also one at Cold Canyon Landfill that that accept hazardous waste. But the IWMA would be the venue to address on that.
Brian, perhaps you, the chief, somebody from the staff can initiate a dialogue with the Integrated Waste Management Division of the county and see what it is that we can do to encourage them to open up a hazardous waste facility here in Cambria.
Will do.
Don't you, Tom, don't you, under our contract, I don't remember, but isn't there one time or twice a year where you'll make a toxic run for residents?
Is that my permit does not allow me to do toxic runs.
Okay.
We do cleanup, which is currently going on this week,
right,
of general garbage and recycling, those kind of issues, but I'm specifically prohibited from handling hazardous materials.
So the individual resident has to take his batteries or his paint, whatever, down to Morro Bay or wherever directly?
I'm sure the fire chief can address it, but there's a residential small generator exception that you can put in a vehicle and drive it to someplace.
Any other questions on this topic? District Council, you've looked at this contract.
Yes.
Is that correct? Are you satisfied that the rate adjustment is an obligation that the district has to approve?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'd be glad to do that. I'll move approval of the item in question.
Okay.
There's nothing to read here. It says public hearing.
Yeah, resolution 20-2005.
Oh, sorry.
2005.
Okay. Excuse me. Okay.
It's been moved to adopt. Is there a second?
I apologize.
That's all right.
President Sanders.
I'll second.
Just because this is a finance item, just
we'll
make sure that there's
vote.
No other public speakers that want to add any input.
Are there any other public speakers? There are none. Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
I did.
You did second it. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Sanders, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
While Tom is still here, I think the unanimous vote here is a reflection of the excellent service we've been getting. And I want to commend your firm. I've not had one complaint. I haven't heard of anyone complaining. I mean, maybe you have. I've not received any letters, any emails. No one has approached me on the street. I tend to believe that most of the people are very happy with the service. So as long as you do good service, we'll reciprocate. Okay?
I'll let my employees know.
Okay, okay.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Excuse me just a second. I'd like to
yes.
say the same thing right. to Tom. We get the guys, they come out and they haul a lot of grit and stuff from the wastewater treatment plant, and that's a pretty bad stuff, and they're doing a great job and never complain. We really appreciate it.
Terrific. Thank you. The next item under hearings and appeals is a request for a water bill modification for service at 2167 Marlboro. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Monique Madrid will be addressing both of these, and she'll come up. She'll talk about it right now.
Monique.
Okay, I'm just going to read this for Tammy. The first water bill modification is for Annette Thompson at 2167 Marlboro. The recommendation is to deny the request for water bill modification. This request may not qualify for action by the board under the district's water bill modification policy because the property may be being used as a vacation rental, even though it isn't formally listed as a vacation rental with the county. On March 9th, 2005, a female occupant did state to our utility operator that she was renting it for a few days and that other people had been there over the weekend. The consumption in question is 52 units of water billed for the November-December 2004 billing period. It is not the primary residence for the customer. The water charges were $277.14. The sewer charges are $135.25 for a total of $412.39. The customer's average water consumption over the last year is 5 units. The customer has stated that she allows family, friends, and people she knows and trusts to use the property. And the initial inspection by our water department was on 1-5, where they noted that the meter was not turning, and they've done 3 further field checks and indicated they could not find any outside leaks. The customer did have a plumber inspect her house on January 24th, and she reported that he found no leaks. The customer did express that her gardener has 4 other customers who also had high water usage with no signs of leaks. There is no evidence of fault on the part of the CCSD. The source of the water consumption is undetermined and unknown, and the meter was functioning correctly and accurately registered this consumption. There is nothing to the contrary to indicate otherwise. It appears there were several different users and occupants on the property during the billing period that could have consumed the water. Annette Thompson also sent a letter, she wanted me to read it into the record. It says, I am unable to attend the hearing on this matter with regard to the above water bill. I did want you to know that both the plumber hired by me as well as the one hired by the water district failed to find any water leaks in or around my property. Since the bill must have been an error, I would appreciate an appropriate reduction in the amount of the bill. Thank you for your attention.
We've made our best effort to make sure that they have. There's always going to be a few that slip through the crack, and it wouldn't be a problem to do that. Just make a special letter to her.
Terrific.
Done.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is a request for a water bill modification for service at 1730 Langton. Is there a staff report?
Mr. Sanders, would it be necessary to read the whole thing? Can we just have the staffer read the recommendation, perhaps the fiscal impact?
Excuse me?
Is it necessary to read the entire agenda item? Perhaps if we can have the staff member just read the recommendation, the fiscal impact, and then proceed?
I'm not sure what you're asking for.
Well, I'm asking that Monique not read the entire item.
I see. In other words, you want a summary of the item. Monique?
Sure, be happy to. This water bill modification is for Naomi McCutcheon at 1730 Langton. Basically, she had a tree that fell. It is her not her primary residence. The tree broke a pipe under her concrete patio. She responded within 5 days, had it repaired, and has provided documentation to that effect. And the staff recommendation is that the bill be modified to 4 units, which is her average consumption, for a total of $79.04.
Any questions of the staff?
I'm wondering why we're allowing the whole amount, because it says it was broke. It was a secondary line to an irrigation valve, which is usually a no-no as far as we're concerned. I'm wondering why we're allowing the whole thing.
It's because it was underneath a concrete patio where it was not visible, and it was due to a storm event, and she did act responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I understand that George Oberholzer is here today to represent the applicant.
Right.
Mr. Oberholzer.
Right. First off, Mr. McCutcheon asked me to ask the chief, who knows who the people were, to thank him again for the quick response. I mean, within a matter of minutes, there were people on the scene. They took action to make sure that the road got opened. That was kind of important. And also to make sure that the house would not have any more damage if it rained some more and that sort of thing. It was really very well done. And I was there. I saw what happened. And it was really outstanding. So that was the first thing. Secondarily, answer any questions anybody has. It's pretty obvious. After the shutoff valve for the irrigation system. This is a line that went to the shutoff valve. So it was really part of the house system. It wasn't part of the irrigation system, if that clears that up. Other than that, anything else?
Any questions of Mr. Oberholzer? Thank you.
Sorry.
Appreciate it. And thank you, Chief, for your department's excellent work, as always. What's the pleasure of the board?
Well, I think I should. I'm certainly willing to support the recommendations of staff, and especially with all of his kudos for the gentleman that for our staff. I think it would be terrible to turn around and deny this. So I'm in favor.
Is that the secret to success here?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the staff recommendation. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Let the record reflect four ayes. Director Chaldicott votes no.
I'm just concerned the precedent that we are. This is the first time I remember we allowed someone to have a complete pass on their increased water bill. Okay.
We'll move on now to regular business, and item A is consideration of an ordinance to amend the district code as it relates to the local amendments to the Uniform Fire Code. Chief Putney?
Yes, in front of you is recommendation is to receive the staff report, which is in front of you, to adopt Ordinance 3-2005. Which would approve changes to the Cambria Community Services District Code section, which includes the fire code amendments, and it would basically change the current requirement that would require all new residential buildings be equipped and protected by a residential fire sprinkler system. And of note of the language inside there is that if there are any buildings that were required to have sprinklers in them already and they were built and they did not have a sprinkler system, and they would not have to retrofit as well. That language is in here. So it would change the code. There is already $24.99. You have to retrofit it.
So this has
no change.
So I can build a small commercial without sprinklers?
Maybe. And the reason I say that is there are other provisions in the code, i.e. fire flow requirements, that if our town's fire water supply system out of the nearby hydrants does not supply enough fire flow, the building owner has to do something to reduce the fire flow impact. And there are a number of ways they can do that. Often the cheapest way is to sprinkler the building than it is to pay the district to upsize pipes and put in a higher water movement so they can get the fire flow and still be able to build their building.
So there is a loophole, is that true for the...
Well, there's not really a loophole to get around sprinklering. You just like a residential homeowner could do some other options if they were right at the edge of sprinkling but weren't required, but they didn't meet the fire flow requirements.
Yeah.
There are some other options they could look at. There really are no loopholes here. Most homes that are being remodeled and a large number of businesses that are being remodeled are retrofitting with sprinklers because they clearly meet the ordinance.
Okay. I guess the other thing, thank you, Chief. The other thing I was looking at was the definition. It says there will be effective immediately upon adoption. That's hard to say. I'm just wondering if we'll have anyone who's just about to finish his building, coming in asking for an exemption, or are we? Is it very clear just how that will be?
Well, our district council and I both worked on this together, and we think it's very, very clear that if they're required to sprinkler and they're in the process, they must finish and do that. If the building is finished and they have not sprinkler, they're not required to go back and retrofit.
Okay.
So I think it's very clear in here. It's at least clear to me as far as implementation, and I believe it's clear on the legal side from our district council.
Okay. District council, you agree?
That's correct. We specifically made it clear so there wouldn't be a problem, hopefully.
Thank you.
So brand new buildings are required to have sprinklers?
All new residential buildings in Cambria are required to be fire sprinklered, and this would remove those exceptions that were in before. All new commercial buildings in Cambria are required to be sprinklered if they are going to be or will be 2,499 square feet or larger.
Is there a reason why we can't include commercial buildings in this, in a similar type of ordinance?
We could. This proposal is for residential buildings, all the different classifications under the building code that are residential. 2,499 is somewhat of an industry standard. We could certainly be, there are some that are higher than that, 3,500 square feet. Most people that are proposing buildings for Cambria that are commercial are well above 2,499 square feet, so they're sprinklering. So,
any other questions of Chief Putney?
I'd like to support what Director Funkabaloo said, because there's a lot of small commercial buildings in this town, really small. And I wouldn't like to think, you know, particularly as a commercial building by definition is unoccupied perhaps two-thirds of the time, I do sense that's an area that needs to be taken care of.
Can I suggest that the Fire Code Board Committee take that issue up and come back with a recommendation? Is there a motion to approve this item?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt Ordinance 03-2005. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Under regular business, item C is to receive a status report on the Cambria Community Center audit. Brian, is there a staff report?
Yes, I got one here from Tammy. Recommendations, receive status report, Cambria Community Center audit. Discussion, the financial audit of Cambria Community Center has been scheduled for April 25th through 27th. Moss, Levy, and Hartsheim CPAs will be conducting the audit at the cost to the Cambria Community Center not to exceed $3,500. Paul Niedermuller, CPA and partner, will be supervising the audit. Moss, Levy, and Hartsheim estimate the audit to be ready in approximately 2.5 weeks or by May 13th. The Cambria Community Center contacted the audit firm and acquired the cost estimate. Moss, Levy, and Hartsheim also does the CCSD audit. Upon completion of the auditor's report, those findings and others related items will be brought back before the board for consideration and discussion.
Any questions? There's no action required on this item, correct?
I think just received the status report. I did receive from a member of the public at the beginning of the meeting a letter that he asked that I read into the record. I tried to find, since I received it at the meeting, I couldn't make copies available to the public or even for all the board members. But if I
go ahead, proceed and read the letter.
This is from Susan Perry, dated April 27th. Dear directors, I am sorry that I can't be here to address you today and did not pay IRS taxes. The leadership of the Community Center for 2005 is the same leadership we had in 2004. There has been no change. I am absolutely stunned by the CCS board, that the CCS board has chosen to give that same leadership $50,000 more in public tax money for 4 short months. Thank you, Mr. Funkabaloo, for your excellent viewpoint article this week in the Cambrian. You are asking the right questions and pointing out what should have been obvious to the other directors of the CCSD. I think it is a gross injustice that you have been criticized for doing your duty as a volunteer public servant. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Susan Perry. And I submitted this to the clerk to be placed in the record.
Thank you. The status report on the Community Center audit is hereby received. We'll now move on to public comment. I have one request to speak from Jerry McKinnon.
Good afternoon, Jerry.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, board members. Two stories have come to me, and I think of them as being true because of the source. It's a question on the rental of this facility, the Veterans Memorial Building. I'm wondering whether policy has been changed and whether it has been made public and why. Both of them were denied rental of the building. The first one was a young lady who had graduated, who attended all of the schools in Cambria, graduated from Coast High School, moved to Paso Robles, then thought about getting married and using the Vets Hall here as a reception place for the wedding because of all of her friends who lived in Cambria. The second one was denied permission to use it based upon the notion or the fact that they'd never had rented the building in the past. Now that's the story I got, a consistent story from both of those individuals. I'm wondering whether they blew something out of proportion or whether in fact there is a policy where taxpayers of the community who pay for the use of the building are being denied the use of that building. Thank you.
Jerry, there is an answer to your question. It is multifaceted, and perhaps at the next meeting we can have something on the agenda that articulates the policy. We have some pretty serious insurance issues that weigh in on this and some other issues, but we'll get you an answer.
Okay. Is that new policy in writing at the moment?
It will be.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Any other members of the public wish to address the board? If not, board members, any other issues? Meeting's adjourned.
Close session.